our all to him, because he gave his all for us. And out of thankfulness, as a response, we do that. So welcome to worship, whether you're here in person or if you're here online. May you just be immersed in God's presence, feeling that as we connect with him, as we worship him, as we gather together. We'll start with our readings.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose the king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that it would speak to our hearts and our spirits as well as our minds. Amen. The cost of following Jesus. You think about Paul. Paul knew persecution. He had been beaten, he had been stoned, he had been left for dead, he had been just marginalized by everybody, his old friends. He knew persecution. He had suffered much for Jesus. And in 2 Timothy, the last letter of Paul, he's passing on to Timothy what Timothy is going to need as he takes up the reins, as he takes over what Paul has started. Now, there are other missionaries as well, but Timothy is Paul's son in the spirit. And he's equipping him for what lies ahead. And it's not going to be easy. We have it easy compared to a lot of other people in the Bible that we're going to hear about today. We have it very easy. So he tells Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," to draw on God's grace that's going to get him through that unmerited favor, going to get him through the tough times. And the things also that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. By doing so, by passing those things on to others, this gospel is going to spread, and it has. We're sitting here today as a result of that. If you could trace it back, our faith, maybe it came, you know, a combination of people contributed to it, our parents, our Sunday school teachers, etc., but they were also built up in the faith by someone else who had been built up by someone else, and we can trace it back to Paul, each one of us here. If you were to look back and see, it'd be fascinating to see how that'd been passed on. He tells him furthermore, "Join with me in suffering." Yeah, that sounds like fun, huh? Sign me up, okay? Join with me in suffering. Suffering for Christ. Again, we have it easy. During this time, spreading the gospel, the Jews that were not receptive to it, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, all those in power are trying to squash this movement. They were taking people out. They were torturing him. They were imprisoning him. They were killing him, doing what they can to do it. Now, we can understand that they were trying to be true to God in their minds. They were following their traditions that had honored God, you know, for generations. But things had changed when Jesus came. The Messiah, who had been prophesied all through the Old Testament, had come. And those that followed him would be suffering. You look at the early Christians in Rome when Nero came to power. It was ugly. Read about it in Hebrews, the various things they endured. So join me in suffering like a good soldier. And yep, soldiers also know suffering. Many times standing out in the rain or in the cold and things like that, I got a lot of memories. Nowadays when it's rainy and cold and windy, I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm glad I'm not in the army right now. But there are other people who are. And it's miserable at times, I guarantee you. But you soldier on because you're devoted to your cause. You take these things in stride because you're on a mission. And we are also all on a mission. We are on a mission to spread that gospel. We are on a mission to stand firm and to endure in the face of persecution. We are like the soldiers. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He is the head. He's the one we're following, right? He's our commanding general. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Very true. We have things that are going to try to distract us from the mission. We have to drive on with the mission because we're following God. We answer to him. He is our commanding officer. And we seek to please him. We seek to follow in his ways. We seek to do the things that we are called to do, as listed in the Bible here. In the face of opposition, in the face of persecution at times, but again, we've got it easy compared to these people who are definitely giving their all. Among those who gave their all was Stephen, of course. We heard about him in Acts today. Stephen was in the early church, and what we know about him is found in chapter 6 and 7 here. It says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power," like Timothy, full of God's grace, or drawing on that, and God's power, "performed great wonders and signs among the people." It doesn't list them, but I wonder what they were. What were these great wonders and signs? Was he healing people like Jesus? Was he doing miracles? Well, clearly, but you know, where's Paul Harvey when you need him? I want to know the rest of the story, right? What were these signs and miracles that Stephen was doing? Well, he was filled with the Spirit, so he was drawing on the Spirit's power. It wasn't Stephen doing these things, it was God through him. We offer ourselves up that God can work through us. He's the one that deserves the glory. So he's doing all these things to glorify God and to testify to the truth. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue, of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. He's getting hit from all sides. Who began to argue with Stephen. And absolutely, I'm sure there were great debates during that time. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Sometimes we don't know what to say. But if we let God speak through us, words are going to come out of our mouths that are going to, well, I don't know where that came from, God, but use me, right? It's sort of like every Sunday morning when I'm driving into worship, I'm just asking God, I want it to be through me, not from me. I want it to be through me, not from me. So Stephen is given the ability to do miracles. He's given the ability to speak these incredible words of wisdom, but was not well received. Well, wasn't that sort of Jesus? The ability to do miracles, to speak great words of wisdom, but was not well received? Very similar. And the similarities continue here. They secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Does that sound like when Jesus was being persecuted? They got together a bunch of people to tell lies about him, to say that he was a blasphemer and everything else? Absolutely, that's what they hung him on eventually. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. Sounds like Good Friday, doesn't it? Stirring the people up against Jesus and here against Stephen. The tactics have not changed. They seized him and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses. Again, this should sound familiar. Many people were witnessing falsely against Jesus, who testified. This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. Yeah, he doesn't. He's on fire for God. He doesn't stop speaking. Absolutely. He's filled with the Spirit. So they can't get him on what he's doing because what he's doing is true and it is right. So they're making up lies just like they did against Jesus. We had heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses had down to us. Absolutely. 100%. So in the face of this persecution, all who are sitting in the Sanhedrin, and this is the ruling council, this is the Supreme Court of Judaism at the time. These are the ones that have status within the Jewish society. They are part of this Sanhedrin. And to face them would be, you know, your knees would be weak. You're in front of these people that have all this power. And all these who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. In the midst of it, he was aglow. Now, we didn't have time to go through his whole speech, which follows in chapter 7. It's a whole speech that Stephen then gives the Sanhedrin. He starts recounting the history of the Israelites. You can read it, Acts 7, telling about the getting out of Egypt and coming to the promised land and Abraham, the promises to Abraham being fulfilled. It goes on for a whole chapter here. And it's a pretty long speech. Luckily, someone recorded it for us. But again, he recounts that whole history. And the people are probably nodding, yep, 100%, because he's in it accurately. But he gets to the part of his speech, which was not well received. He's speaking truth to power is what he's doing. And speaking truth to power is not always well received. So after recounting all that, we got a page and a half of that, he concludes his speech, "You stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." They are caught up in their ways and their traditions. And those traditions have become more important than relationship with God for the Pharisees, for example. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? You read through the Old Testament. Was it easy for the prophets? Oh, no. They were persecuted. Jesus would be persecuted. Stephen here is being persecuted. And people today are being persecuted as well around the world. Alrighty. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He was given this vision, which strengthened him and empowered him and reassured him of what was to come, I'm sure. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." These words would really get to the audience here. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. So yeah, covering their ears. They don't want to hear the truth. Covering their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, trying to make their voice louder. And what they're saying, dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. To lay your coat at someone's feet is to honor them, just as, you know, garments are laid down on Palm Sunday. And here they're honoring Saul, who is the Jew of Jews, okay, the one that was really had the status, who had become Paul. You know, God saw his dedication, said, I can use that guy. And he turned him. He had an incredible encounter with Jesus. And as a result, we have the rest of the New Testament, the majority of written by Paul, as he went forth and carried on the mission. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Wow. Again, that should sound familiar, right? Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Again, the similarities here, I'm just, wow. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him. Stephen gave it all. Paul was persecuted, and Stephen put to death. Well, Paul was put to death too. We don't see it in the Bible, but we know that he was martyred. And Stephen here is martyred as well for standing up for what he believed in, for telling the people to love one another. He gave his all. He followed that calling, and he paid the price. I'm humbled when reading about these martyrs, again, because we've got it easy. Let's face it, we do. Living here today in the United States, we've got it easy. But in following Jesus, there is a cost. And that's what Jesus is expressing to his disciples in the gospel that we heard today. Large crowds traveling with him, yeah, as always. And he turns to them. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be, you know, my disciple. And we're going, whoa, we're supposed to love one another, not hate people, especially those that are dear to us. But doing a little digging, and, you know, this was spoken in a different language. It's been translated, and this is why I like different translations at times. The NIV is sort of my go-to. But the NLT, the New Living Translation, really opens this one up. The same passage. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, there's the key words, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So that by comparison really opens it up to us. We're still supposed to love our neighbors, to love our fathers and our mothers and our sisters and brothers and ourselves. But by comparison, we are to love God that much more, to where it looks like we're hating ourselves. We're loving him so much. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything we are, right? He comes first. You shall have no other gods before him. He has to come first. And then he tells people to consider the cost. Using the example of building the tower or going to war, that there will be a cost for following him. He tells his followers, you will be persecuted. And they were. Again, we've got it easy. What's the cost to us? It's not that we take out our pocketbook and pay a cost. There is a cost, though. We have to give things up to follow Jesus. And the things we're giving up are things that we shouldn't have anyway. Think about it. Giving up your old ways, giving up your human desires to follow him, to do the right thing. Absolutely. God wants not just a part of us. He wants all of us. Our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But people around the world are paying much more. There's persecutions actively going on. Of course, in places like North Korea, where people are jailed or killed for their faith, if they're caught, China, they're jailed. And Africa, more recently now, that is the big hotspot for persecution. In Nigeria and the Congo, thousands of Christians have been martyred this year. I read one estimate, 7,000. That's three times the population of Glenwood. While they're worshiping, you don't see it on all the big news sites, but it's true. These extremists are coming in with machetes, setting the churches on fire and hacking people to death. They're dying for their faith. They're paying that cost. We've got it nice here. I don't think anybody's going to come in here and burn this church and hack us to death. And that's what's happening. It's a brutal type of thing. And it is happening. My question is, how can we stand with them? Our brothers and sisters. And these are our brothers and sisters that are suffering so much. What can we help? Oh, we can publicize this so more people hear about it. We can certainly pray for them. Again, we've got it easy. But we are seeing more persecution here as well. In the last couple of years, Christian schools even, innocent kids in Minnesota now, California, Wisconsin, and Tennessee have been attacked by people. People who are mentally ill or given over to evil. We don't know the root causes many times, but you can imagine that the enemy's using this, that he's swaying people over to his side and encouraging them to do these things. And what can be more evil than attacking innocent kids? It's bad enough, you know, when adults are getting persecuted and martyred, but kids? Not only Christian schools, but also churches now being attacked. Sanctuaries, or churches used to be a sanctuary, a place of safety. And now, in various places, especially in Africa, they're being attacked, and even here in the United States. That a couple weeks ago, Jill and I went to a conference on church security, just more out of curiosity because we're not at much risk here, but it was eye-opening. And to think that we would even have to think about security, that's sad. We're gathering here to praise God, encouraging people to love one another, and can become a target for that. Well, that's what happened with Stephen. That's what's happened with many others, standing up for what they believe in. Now, the persecution is not always physical. It's not always beatings, stonings. It can also be discrimination, and that's wrong in any form. And Christians being discriminated against for standing up for what they believe in. But when we stand up for what we believe in, let us do it in a loving way. I'll put that out there right away, in a loving way. We are not here to condemn others. We do not do that. We follow the teachings of Jesus. We love one another. We are there for others. We seek to help others. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter what they've done. We are called to love one another. And let us find ways to do that in a loving way, to stand for what's right, absolutely, 100%, to stand firm, but in a loving way. Not being judgmental. Instead of welcoming others. I don't care who walks through this door, they are welcome. I don't care what kind of lifestyle they got, what kind of tattoos, piercings, whatever, it doesn't matter. They are welcome here. Everybody is. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and we are all lost until he found us. Wow. Again, humbling. But you know, how can we do this? How can we stand up for these people? If people got ideas, let me know. I'm open to it. We'll certainly be praying. We'll be doing what we can. But again, to stand firm in a loving way, that is the challenge. So, as you go forth today and throughout the rest of your life, stand up for what you believe in, but do it in a loving way. Amen.